Hey, would you welcome this morning Steve Steele, who's going to lead us in our closing message in the book of Colossians. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, man. Hey, good morning. On my way to church this morning, my steering wheel began to shake on the freeway. It started to do things it had never done before, and as I got off the off-ramp, that shake became a full-on thud, and as I pulled off to the side of the road, my tire was flat. And I was like, I got to get there. I got to preach this morning. And so I called and texted my good friend Dane. And I said, hey, Dane, I'm going to be a little bit late. I've got an Uber coming to get me to church. And Dane immediately said, he called me and he said, dude, I'll come and get you Ubers for people without friends. And it made me think he's right about that, don't you think? If you know this iconic song, it represents to a generation of people these friends that went through everything together. They went through the ups and the downs together. And originally when I thought I was going to show this, I thought I might only appeal to a certain generation of people until I remembered that my 20-year-old daughter has seen every Friends episode from every season probably 3 times all the way through. Any young people know what I'm talking about with Friends? Anybody? Yeah? Let me give you an example. Here at my house, this is the door to my daughter's room. If you don't know what that is, that's the door to the apartment in the series Friends. In fact, hanging on her wall is a Central Perk sign. My 20-year-old daughter is a Friends fanatic. She's working up at summer camp this summer, and her camp name is Smelly Cat, which is from an iconic Friends song in that thing. And so I thought maybe not everybody would know who Monica, Rachel, and Phoebe, and Ross, and Chandler, and Joey are, but I think probably most of you do. And the reason that this series was so iconic during the time that it was is because we all wanted friends like that. We all wanted friends that would go through anything with us. When was the last time you had a group of friends like that? How many people had a group of friends like that when you were in college? When you spent a bunch of time together studying or not studying, you know what I'm talking about? Maybe for some of you, you have to go back to high school and you remember high school where you had a group of friends that did everything together. You were probably on the same sports teams, and so you were at practices and you were going to tournaments and you were eating before and after at pizza places, and that was your group of friends. You were tightly knit together and did everything together. Maybe for some of you, you go even further back to elementary school age. How many people had a group of friends that ran around your neighborhood together? You know what I'm talking about? After school, the moment you got out of school, you jumped on your bikes with the banana seat. How many people remember the banana seat on your bike, right? And you rode around, or maybe a BMX bikes, but we had this group of friends that we would do everything with, and we were always together, always together. Let me tell you something as we finish up the book of Colossians here today. God uses us together. He uses us in community. And the purpose of the church is to seek and save the lost. And then we go out and we find people who are far from Christ, and we introduce them to Christ, and we eventually help them to grow in Christ. And then eventually the goal is to send them out again to go and seek and save some more lost people. But we don't ever do that alone. And I'll bet everybody in this room knows somebody who is far from Christ. Just nod your head if you've got someone you care about that is far from Christ. Like, we all have someone like that. And God is, Pastor Glenn, in fact, the other 2 weekends ago, Pastor Glenn challenged us to write down a name of somebody that we really wanted to see come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, God uses us together to accomplish that. It was true 2,000 years ago in Colossae. It's true today in Lodi. And we're going to look at how we're going to do that together with our friends. Would you just join me in prayer as we ask God's blessing? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for every part of your word. God, I thank you that we see so clearly in your word, not only the mission of the church, but even our lives, the mission of our lives, God. But I also am so thankful that you showed us how to do it and how to do it together. So God, this morning as we look into your word, I just pray that your words would leap off the page, that your story would be the story. God, let my words fade into the background. But God, I just pray that people would see you and see your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you have a Bible, would you, or an app on your phone or tablet or whatever, open up to the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 4. We are going to finish the book of Colossians this morning. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the believers in Colossae. Here's an important note about this, kind of a recap. He had never met these people before. Paul had never met them before. But he was encouraging them because some people had infiltrated their church and were teaching some false teachings. They were dividing the church. And if we had to sum up the main point of the book of Colossians, it would be this. Jesus is all you need. Jesus is it. Jesus, period. Jesus is preeminent. That's the title of the series. He is the most important thing. You don't need some special knowledge. You don't need some special ritual. You don't need some special experience. All you need is Jesus. That's it. And that's the foundation of our faith. In fact, Jesus is our faith. Without Jesus, we don't have a faith. So Jesus is preeminent. So before we get to the passage that Pastor Glenn assigned to me today, I want to back up a couple of verses and remind you of what was right before this. Pastor Glenn preached this a couple weeks ago. And so let's jump right back into, we're in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. It says here, devote yourselves to what? Oh, I'm going to train you people if it's the last thing I do. When I say what, you say prayer. Ready? Devote yourselves to what?
Prayer.
Prayer with an alert mind and a what? And a thankful heart. And pray for us, too, that God will give us many, what?
Opportunities
to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. And then he says, pray that I will, what? Proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Paul's parting words to this group of believers in this letter says, hey, pray. Devote yourselves to prayer. Pray that we have opportunities to share the gospel, to speak about Jesus. Pray that I will proclaim it as clearly as I should. We need to be doing that too. Pray for opportunities to share. Pray for an open heart with the person that you want to share with. Pray that God would put other people into their lives to speak truth to them as well. We pray for all these things, that we would pray that we have opportunities to simply serve people. To show kindness in Jesus' name. Pray for the boldness to speak up when it's time to speak up. Pray to say the right words at the right time and in the right way to people who are far from Christ. And we pray, pray, pray. And when we're all prayed up, then we move on. We're going to live how? Wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every what? Opportunity. Let your conversations be, what are they supposed to be? And attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. Can I tell you something? Unsaved people who are far from Christ, they watch Christians like a hawk. You may not know this, but they do. They are very critical of us. And let me tell you something, as a pastor, as a preaching pastor for years and years and years, up front, I try very hard to be open, honest, and authentic. People, I am a sinner. I have faults. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I sin in ways that are shocking even to me. How in the world, after all these years of following Christ, would I think to do that? And the truth of the matter is, no matter how honest or vulnerable I am, do you think the world cares one little bit? They don't. They see the title pastor, or even just the title Christian, and they think to themselves, what a hypocrite. What a hypocrite. So I have to be vigilant in my life, in the things that I say and do. I don't want anything in my life to get in the way of my ability to share my faith and do it graciously, making the most of every opportunity. I was yesterday working at the restaurant that I work at in addition to working here. And I had gone through an entire long shift on my feet. And as I was clocking out and tipping out, by the way, your server tips out other people. They give the busser and the dishwasher and the hosts and sometimes even the cooks in this day and age, they get a portion of your tips. And as I was tipping out to the manager says to me, hey, Steve, thank you for being so honest about the way you tip out. And I thought, oh, he noticed that. He notices that other servers don't tip out the proper amount that they're supposed to tip out. You know, at the end of every shift, there's a timesheet that I have to fill out, and I'll write in the hours that I worked. And next to the total amount of hours I worked, you have to write on this timesheet the amount of tips you made that day. And they claim taxes off of that and tax me on that amount. And early on when I started that, every person that I talked to said, oh yeah, you don't write down what you actually made. You write down some because you'll get audited if you do, but you don't write down what you actually made. And I said, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can willingly and knowingly write down a lie at the end of every single shift. And when you page through the timesheets that are at our work, you will see numbers that are, I'm the best server there. I make two times what anybody else makes. People called me stupid. But I said, I can't lie like that because I know people are watching. And I know it's not the right thing to do. We have to live lives that are full of integrity and make the most of every opportunity that people give us to be a faithful witness to Jesus Christ. But you can't just walk the walk. You've got to at some point be able to talk the talk and say why you believe what you believe and how you believe it. And you need to be able to put words to that. The Bible talks about some of us are called to plant seeds. Others water the seeds. But it's always God who makes the seeds grow. So I want you to see, this is the passage that Pastor Glenn gave to me this morning. And I'm calling this message with a little help from my friends. Thanks, Dane, for picking me up this morning. Nobody has ever won anyone to Christ alone. Do you know that? It's never happened. The journey to following Christ is one that God has been chasing that person since the day they were born. He's put people in their lives all along the way, and he's been chasing them their whole life. And the idea that somehow you will do it alone is ludicrous. And Paul is going to finish this letter talking about his friends, the people he has been serving in ministry with. Now, the end of this letter, if you look in a little bit ahead there, starting in verse 7, is kind of like a postscript. A lot of people write this section off because it's just a list of names and tell so-and-so I said hi, and it's just a laundry list of his errands and instructions. And this is the passage that Pastor Glenn gave me to preach. Yeah. This is new pastor hazing. Have no illusions, okay? So I'm going to find a way, because Paul lists 11 people. There are 11 names listed there, Jews and Gentiles that were Paul's partners in ministry. And I want you to see three kinds of people that we partner with in ministry. Ready? Let's jump into the text here. The first is I get by with a little help from my friends. I get by with a little help from my friends. And here's the first kind of people, friends who stay. Friends who stay. Listen to what it says here. Tychicus will give you a full report about how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and what? He's a faithful helper who serves how? With me in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Absolutely. I am also sending who? Onesimus. Pretty good. You guys' pronunciation is on. A faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that's happening here. Who else? Yeah, you guys are choking on that. Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greeting, and so does, come on, you got this, Mark, Barnabas's cousins. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Who else? Not that Jesus, the other Jesus. The one we call Justice also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my coworkers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God. And what a comfort they have been. What a comfort they have been. So we get this list of names. Tychicus, Onesimus, Aristarchus, Mark, Justice. These are faithful servants and partners who have been serving with Paul in ministry. These are faithful guys who have stuck by Paul's side through thick and thin. These are Paul's friends, the I'll be there for you people. Does that make sense? You're welcome. I'll do encores later. How do you know somebody is truly a friend? You have a nickname for them. You know what I'm talking about? People that you like my wife is never Nicole to me. I call her anything but Nicole. I call her Nick. I call her Nikolai. I call her Nicolette. I call her Nikki Fresh. I'm going to be in trouble for that. Actually, my daughter in her cell phone does not have mom as a contact. It says Nikki Fresh. She calls her. That's how you know somebody. So I want to go through Paul's crew and hopefully have them come alive because we're going to give them some nicknames this morning. Ready? Here we go. The first guy is Tychicus. We're going to call him Ty. That's what I would call Tychicus. I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't know if I'm even pronouncing it right, but I call him Ty. And Ty's the FedEx guy. You want to know why? Because Ty is going to deliver this message. They are sending Ty to go and deliver the message. He says, I got this important message, and I am going to send him to you. And I love the way they describe Ty. He is a beloved brother, a faithful helper who serves with me. How would you like to be known as that guy? It's a pretty good endorsement, right? And so he's going to send Ty to him. And Ty's not just bringing the letter. Part of the delivery is Ty. Ty's going. Ty's the guy that they're sending. And so he is the FedEx guy. Now, Onesimus is a runaway slave. If you had to come up with a nickname for Onesimus, what would it be? Yeah, I don't know either. I came up with O. I just call him O. What's up, O? That's what I would call Onesimus. So I would call him O. He's a runaway slave. I couldn't come up with a good nickname for him. He has come to faith in Christ, and I'm not going to steal Pastor Steve Newman's thunder because he's going to preach the book of Philemon here, and he's going to tell Onesimus' story in detail. But O is in Paul's crew. Ready? Here we go. Aristarchus. Aristarchus is a fellow convict. He's in chains with Paul. What's a good name for Aristarchus? There is no good nickname for Aristarchus because that name sounds like an epic name, as in like Aristarchus Maximus, gladiator. Don't you think? That sounds like Aristarchus. I love that name. So I didn't mess with it. Aristarchus is a convict with Paul, and we don't know why he's in jail. Maybe just for following Jesus. Maybe for being a part of this movement Paul is in. But he could be there for something worse. We don't know. Then there is Mark, or I like to call him B's cuz. He's B's cuz. And he might be coming to couch surf. Hook him up if he does. Okay, so he's I don't know why, he's on his road. It says basically if he comes and you make some space for him. So let him stay there. Justice is the other Jesus. We just call him J. O and J and Aristarchus Maximus and O and Ty and Mark. Like, these are his crew. These are his guys. These are his faithful companions, the people who have stayed with him and served with him. And these are the names. Here's the interesting thing. There are people like that in the ministry here. You know how I know that? Because I look out in the crowd and I see people that I knew 17 years ago. 17 years ago, you were serving in ministry, and I still see you here serving in ministry. Janine used to be my key junior high volunteer. Look at her back there still serving in ministry. Look at Lori Riley as I got to go to her sending off. You've been serving faithfully the whole time. Let me tell you, we all need friends that will stay with us through thick and thin, that will serve with us in ministry no matter what, no matter how good or how bad it gets. And here's the kind of interesting thing to me. These guys had no idea their name was going to appear in Scripture. They were just Paul's guys. They were just serving alongside Paul. We're told in Scripture that, I don't know about you, I try to read through the Bible once a year. And literally every year, I will read the name Tychicus. I will read the name Aristarchus. Do you think that guy had any clue that 2,000 years later, there would be a group of people that would be reading their names every single year? And it's just because they were faithful. Just because they were Paul's guys. And we are told, in fact, everything in this world will pass away, but we know God's word is eternal. These guys' names are etched in eternity because they were just faithful friends who stayed with Paul and did the work. There's crew. So that's the first group. Here's the second one. Ready? Friends who stay and friends who pray. Friends who pray. All right, let's look at this guy. What's his name? Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always, what? Prays how? Prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you what? Strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays how? Hard for you. and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Epap, I don't know why I put Epap in the notes. Epap felt like his rap name. You know what I'm talking about? Epap. I'm going to call him Pastor E, though, because most people think Epaphras was probably the pastor of this church in Colossae. I'd call him Pappy, too, maybe. Whatever you want to call him, that's his nickname. He's probably the pastor of this church, and he is praying for you. Let me tell you, some people have the God-given gift and calling of prayer. And let me tell you how desperately the church needs this right now. People who will pray for the ministries of the church. People will pray for leaders. People will pray for, you know, you hear a couple of youth pastors up here say, hey, keep praying for those kids who made decisions. And sometimes I think we just rattle that off. Keep praying for those kids who made, in fact, let's do it right now. Father God, there are some kids that made life-altering decisions at camp last week. And God, I pray that you would surround them with a circle of friends that would encourage them and strengthen them. God, I pray that decision would take root in their hearts and that they would grow deep down into your word, that your Holy Spirit would be a part of their everyday experience. God, I pray that this would be the beginning of a lifelong journey to knowing you. God, surround those kids and continue to minister to them. It's in your son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Man, if you have the gift and calling of prayer, let me tell you how noble a gift that is. It is an important thing that we do. And prayer's hard for me. I'm ADD. Part of the reason that I pray the way I do is I pray right here, right now when somebody tells me to pray for something. You walk up to me and say, Steve, would you pray for this? My response is going to be, whoa, 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 don't walk away. We're going to pray right now, right here. Like bow your head. Let's say it right now because I'm not going to let this opportunity go. At my last church in Elk Grove, we had a text message prayer chain. It was awesome. Our prayer coordinator would get a text message saying, hey, so-and-so has surgery or there was a car accident or this happened or whatever else it was. She could, with a text message, send it out to 10 different groups of like 15 people and 150 people would be praying within minutes. What an awesome, for me, it was perfect because it would pop right up on my screen. I could pray right then and there. This is how God wants to use me. This is how we pray and put God has to go into action for people to receive his son, Jesus Christ. And I was praying with 100 other people and praying with people. Prayer is bigger than me. And that's why I need it. And then of Paul's crew, I want you to see that there's not only friends who stay, there's not only friends who pray, but there's actually some friends who stray. There's a list of some more people we're going to see here. Luke, the beloved what? Doctor, so if I had to give Luke a name, I'd call him Doc, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha or Nypha and the church that meets in her house. After you've read this letter, pass it on to the church at Laodicea so that they can read it too, and you should read the letter I wrote to them. Swap letters. And say to our Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting. Who? Paul. Remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. There are a few other faithful people in this verse. There's Luke, the doc, but then there's Demas, who is a deserter. Demas is listed three times in Scripture. He is listed as a fellow laborer of Paul and Philemon. He's mentioned here in Colossians, and then he's mentioned one more time in the book of 2 Timothy, and this is what we see in 2 Timothy. Demas has what? He's deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. He's deserted me. And I would venture to say there's probably everybody in this room that knows somebody who deserted. Somebody who's fallen away like a Demas. A believer who maybe at one time in your life made a huge difference, and yet now you would say, I'm not even sure they believe. And I could come up with a list of people in my life that have done this. The youth pastor that cheated on his wife and kids with a youth volunteer and lost his ministry, rocked my world while I was in school for ministry. I had another mentor who was an incredible mentor to me in my life. And again, after about after a bunch of years, he just gave up on his marriage. There was a guy, deacon, in a church that I served in a long time ago. And this deacon, who had been on leadership at our church, eventually threw his wife and family under the bus and cheated on her with a foreign exchange student that was half his age. And I think about those people who have deserted or walked away. People lose their way. They stray. They walk away from the vibrant faith they once have. Maybe they haven't derailed completely. Maybe they're just lost in apathy. Maybe they're just distracted by the things of this world, their career or whatever. But those people who have strayed, man, maybe today that's you. Maybe you've been far away from God for too long, and God is calling you back. Which leads me to, okay, I'm going to train you guys again. Which leads me to, so what? There we go, very good. So what, Steve, what do we do with this list of names of Paul's crew? Well, the first observation I have for you is this. Man, there is a season of life in which groups of friends come to an end. The Iconic series kind of came to an end after 10 years. You got audio for me?
If that falls off the truck, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Wow.
I know. It seems smaller somehow.
Has it always been purple?
You look around, you guys. This was your first home.
You know, friendships come to an end. Friendships change. And circumstances change and people move and somebody takes another job and people drift apart and kids aren't the same sports leagues anymore. And this moment is going to mark a huge change for Paul's crew. Ty and O are going back to Colossae to deliver this letter. Eventually, Paul's going to send Onesimus back to his master, the slave that he'd run out on. Demas is going to desert Paul. Mark is, who knows where Mark is? He's off couch surfing somewhere. Maybe he'll come your way. Epap is going to probably go back to Colossae eventually. He's the pastor there. And Paul and Aristarchus are staying put. You want to know why? Because they're chained to a wall in a prison in Rome. Like this grouping is going to break up and this crew is going to break up. And I think sometimes we mourn when those groups of friends break up. I got to be honest with you. The last 6 months of my life, as I have left the church that I was in for 16 years to come here, has been heartbreaking because of the relationships that I had, the group of friends that I called my inner circle, the people that I shared life and ministry with. And yet I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God was calling me to a change and bringing me back to Lodi along the way. He's made that clear. But I think sometimes we just grieve the loss of those friendships. It's okay to grieve those losses and move on to a new season. But God uses us in every season. In fact, if God is at work in our lives, he's going to bring you to new seasons to be used in new people's lives. But I want to show you hidden in the end of this a really significant story that you kind of have to know. If you know the history, it leaps off the page at you. But friends who stray and return, I want you to see in the book of Acts, we see a disagreement between Paul and a guy he's been traveling with. This is a full-on blowout. In fact, such a fight that these guys refuse to serve together anymore. They go separate ways. In Acts, we see Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along who? John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took who? John Mark with him, and they sailed for Cyprus. If that name looks familiar, because John Mark is the very same Mark that we're talking about here in Colossians. It's Barnabas' cousin. And here's the interesting thing about that way that shakes out, because we just saw it. He says, if he's going, I'm not going. You can take a flying leap, too. We're splitting up. I'm not going with him. If you're taking his side, I'm not going with him. And here's what we see in the life of John Mark. We see redemption. Because in Colossians 4:10, we see Paul saying this, Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greeting, and so does who? Mark, Barnabas' cousins. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. Get this, Mark is back with Paul. Mark is serving alongside Paul. Mark is in Paul's inner circle. Paul is saying, Mark is valuable to me, and he will be valuable to you. If he comes your way, make him welcome. I don't know where you're at today. If you're far from Christ, or probably for many of you, you just know somebody that's far from Christ. God has a way of redeeming relationships. He has a way of redeeming people and their purpose in ministry. Would you just bow your heads with me? Because maybe that's you today, and you hear God is, you need to hear this. If you hear nothing else, hear this. God is waiting for you to return. God is waiting and ready to redeem you. And if today is your day where you say, I need to come back. I need to come back to Christ. I need to come back to my faith. I need to come back to a purpose in ministry. Then today's your day. But I'll bet many of you have someone else in your heart that has strayed far away. It may be a son or a daughter. It may be a friend, a really close friend. It may be a grandchild, maybe even a spouse. If that's you today and you know somebody that's far from Christ and they are just a burden on your heart today, would you just slip up your hand? Let me see your hand. I see those. Oh, great. Hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. Let me just pray. Father God, thank you that we don't have to do this life alone, that you've given us a circle of friends to live and grow and minister with. And God, for those that are so dear to us, but have strayed from you, have strayed from your word, have strayed from the faith, have strayed from their purpose in ministry, God, I pray that you would use everyone around them to bring them back. You are a God who redeems. And so today, Father, we surrender these people to you. We promise to continue to play a role in their life, to pray for them, and to stay in relationship with them. But God, use every single person around them to bring them back to you. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.